Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcasts12. Just go to Indeed.com/podcasts12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcasts12. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
I would put a wager on at 500 quid.
500?
Mm.
I would up that to £1,000.
There we go. We have just shaken on it.
Hello and welcome back to the Autarlix podcast, home of automotive financial mistakes, our life in cars, and your questions answered. Today, as ever, Rory, Taylor and I will fill your ear and eye holes with discussions about what we've been up to. We'll play a new game of which car came first.
Ooh. That's new.
Isn't it? That's what I said.
He hasn't even told us about this.
I know.
Yeah, go on.
It was egg.
Egg.
Ah, brilliant.
No, it's chicken.
No, it's the
egg. Well, without the chicken, there's no egg.
No, it's without no egg, there's no chicken.
Right, okay. And we'll also try and help one of you guys out with your keep or quit dilemma. But before that, hello to Smarty Lock, listening while meal prepping in Missouri in the United States.
America.
We've got Alan McFadden from Scotland on his AA patrol shift.
AA patrol.
You used to do AA patrol, didn't you?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Alexandru Rudu grinding through homework in Romania. Mike in Halifax on deliveries. Lewis Morgan in South Wales, who just bought his attainable dream car, a Maserati Ghibli. Good car?
A Ghibli? An old one or a new one?
I don't know.
A new one?
It's a Ghibli.
It's a Ghibli. He's got a Ghibli.
He's got a Ghibli. We've got Andrew Patterson listening on a long road trip. And
Rory's mum, Jackie.
All right, mum.
Hello, Jackie.
I don't know. Is she all right? What's she been up to?
She's been all right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
She's been limmy bashing her jazz.
Wheel spinning it everywhere. Yeah.
Food and fuel.
Yeah, yeah. She enjoyed herself. Will she be taking the jazz up the next food and fuel? Hill climb.
She should do.
Yeah. There's a video on that, isn't there?
Or maybe we engine swap it and don't tell her.
Yeah.
Don't listen to this. Sorry.
We could K20 it.
Yeah, we'll do that. Didn't Adam LZ do that?
He did.
It's Pontiac Solstice.
Right. Anyway, let's move it on to what we've been up to. Taylor, what have you been up to?
Oh,
actually, one thing.
Mm-hmm.
I got to the unit yesterday and I was like, this is strange. I've already arrived at the unit because my car is already at the unit. And then I looked around me and I was like, no, I'm in my car, but why do I see my car in front of me?
Because I was driving the same car as you.
I have started a trend.
And when I say same, it is literally identical. Same colour.
You even had the tow bar out as well. Yeah, so very confusing.
Yeah, it's identical. It's not mine. I'm currently going through what I would call a car lemma.
Oh, I like that. Car lemma, that's good.
So we all know that I'm a bit shit at keeping dailies.
No.
Right?
I thought you were just going to stop it. We all know I'm a bit shit.
I am a bit shit, but I'm especially shit at keeping dailies.
Yes, you are.
I get bored, but I also buy silly cars that I shouldn't daily, yep. Right? And I'm going through a car lemma, and mm-hmm. I don't know what car
to get as a daily. I know what car I want as a daily.
Yeah.
I want that 530D that I've turned up in. But okay. it's quite a lot of money.
Because you'll get bored of it.
No, I wouldn't.
You'd be like, it's boring. I wouldn't.
Taylor, you had the perfect F11.
I did, and you got bored of it. Do you know what? I'm realizing now for doing that, that was probably a bit of a mistake.
Yeah. But that's what you do. I don't think you can have a daily driver.
No,
because you get too bored too quickly.
I can. I am getting to an age now where I need to just buy a car and just drive it about. And not be silly.
I think genuinely in the time that I've had my Jaguar daily driver.
I've had about a million.
Which is only a year and a half.
Yeah.
I think you've had over 10.
Oh yeah,
easy. 10 daily drives.
Yeah, easy.
Should we go through them quickly? The Alpina.
Yeah, that was a lovely car.
That blew up many times.
F11.
F11.
Range Rover.
Yeah.
Range Rover.
Yeah.
Three. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Touareg.
Was Mini one of them as well?
No. Orange Mini.
Oh, Orange Mini. Yeah. Oh,
well,
yeah.
I only dailied that twice.
But that was, you bought it for what?
A daily.
Yeah, you bought it for your daily.
So we're already at 8.
And there is more.
Oh, so the SL, which I said last week.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't really.
Yeah, so how is your SL daily?
It's good. The brakes are a bit worn out.
Yeah.
So I stopped driving it.
How's that really cool air curtain?
Oh, the air curtain. Tell us more about the air curtain.
I thought it had an air scarf.
Yeah,
but it doesn't.
No, it doesn't. Is that the reason why it's now on Instagram for sale?
No. He can't have it. It's bog spec.
Do you know what? It's because he's no longer a YouTube mechanic anymore. He realised that the brakes were done.
I can't do them.
I can't so do it.
He has to pay a man.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. No, I'm selling that. It is what it is. So I'm selling that. And the 530D, the one that I've got in at the moment that's the same as yours.
Yeah.
Belongs to my mate Salve.
Yeah.
Who's lent it to me.
All right, Salve.
He lent it to me and he said, look, just take it for a week.
Yeah.
See how you get on with it.
Float about.
And maybe we'll do a little deal. And I would like to do a deal, but it's, you know, the car's 16 grand.
Yeah.
Right. Which is what it's worth. It's quite cheap.
He won't charge you 16, surely. He'll give you a little deal.
So, you know, they're quite a lot of money, those cars. They're worth like 20-odd K, whatever.
Well, I paid 20 for mine, didn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's already reasonably priced as it is, but it's just a lot of money.
Yeah.
And I can't really stretch myself to that at the moment.
You can buy yourself a nice F11 for 5 grand. And that's a G31, which is the model after, which is one I have.
5 grand to push.
So that's the thing.
You can get an F11 for five grand.
No. You can't.
Really?
I could get an SE 520D for that.
Oh.
But I can't get a 530D for that.
Oh, okay.
For a
especially 530D. Carbon black with the
lovely
interior.
Well, how much was yours? The one you had?
I paid 6.3, 6.4 for it.
Okay, and then you sold it?
For 6.5.
But you sold it because you're an idiot.
I know,
yeah.
And I'm realising that now.
So why don't you message him back and say, do you want to sell it?
I did, and he said he really likes it.
Oh,
probably because it's a good car.
It is a very good car, yeah.
So yeah, I would like, the thing is, right, I found a pattern. I get bored of large cars.
Yeah.
I don't like driving about in a large wallowy barge. Like, I like the luxury. Like, yeah. Rory's Jag's a lovely car. I would get bored of that.
Yeah.
Within about a week.
This is an excuse you've come up with.
No, it's actually
Orange
not.
Mini.
Yeah, but that's a bit too small. So what I want, right, is I want something
just
large.
Can't win.
All I want is
buy a fire engine and shut up.
All right.
I'd get bored of
Alpina.
Let me get to my point.
That was
right? It was a big car.
That Alpina was lovely. It was too nice for me. So I want something large enough to put a set of wheels in the boot.
Yeah.
With a saloon, you can't really do that.
Okay. Yeah.
But I want something that's not large that I get bored of, like a Range Rover or whatever, because I do get bored of them.
Yeah.
So I've come down to a 330D Touring.
Yeah.
I love a 330D Touring, like
perfect
an F31, something like that.
Yep.
Or I'd go for a really nice spec E91.
Okay.
But yep. I would like something a little bit newer because I quite like the
nice
F31's interior.
Fantastic, yeah.
Yeah. Or a Golf GTD, which I've been looking at. Now, you say no. Mm-hmm. Golf GTD, right? They're reasonably priced. You can probably get one, a nice one for 5-6 grand for a nice one. They're fabulous on fuel, 2 litre diesel. 184 brake. They all ULEZ compliant. They all have from factory radar guided cruise control and traffic creep. All of them.
I'm quite bored.
And they have traffic creep. So you can take your feet off the pedals in traffic and they move for you.
Wow.
No.
Yeah.
Sign me up.
I know.
Irony, wasn't it? Irony.
To be fair, if I was doing his commute,
I want that traffic friendliness.
I would want that.
Well, you know the biggest problem with that car, though?
What?
It's got the wrong badge. You are BMW through and through.
I am BMW through and through, but I don't hate a Volkswagen. They're good cars.
But you will sell that within 6 months.
Because you got bored of it. And do you know what it would be?
Do you know what I like? I just like a big car. I don't like a small car. I want a big car.
I just want six cylinders.
It'll come up with a reason.
I would be willing to shake your hand.
Yep.
Right? If I bought a Golf GTD,
yep,
I would keep it for 6 months.
Uh-huh.
Why depending on the fact that as long as it doesn't explode,
yeah,
you know, I would put a wager on a 500 quid.
500?
Mm.
I would up that to £1,000.
Can I also just point out?
We need to buy a GTD. Right.
Look how nervous he is.
For everyone listening at home, right?
Shake on it.
They will be understanding. 6 months is a ridiculous time period. You're acting like this is like, I'm going to keep it for 7 years.
For Taylor, it's a very long time.
But for 6 months,
it's a lifetime.
A year.
A year?
A year.
A year.
500 quid.
No, £1,000.
For a year?
Yeah. For a year.
I will shake on that right now.
If I buy a Golf GTD,
I will shake on it.
I will keep it for a year.
Yep. But you have to drive it every single day as a daily driver. You have to use it
not
as a daily
every day, because I do sometimes drive my other car.
No, right, 95% of the time.
It has to be the most commuted vehicle.
Like I do with my normal daily, but I do sometimes...
What normal daily? M5. You don't have a normal daily.
No, but I did have... But you know, like my
M5... All right, £1,000. There we go. We are shaking.
I'm not buying a GTD. I've gone way off them. No, but I genuinely said to you ages ago, I like a Golf, and you were like, no, I don't know. No, but there's some criteria. It'd have to be DSG because I like the DSG, and it'd have to be a 5-door because I can't be arsed with a 3-door.
Yeah. So would you get an estate?
No.
Oh,
I don't really like the estate. They look funny. You can get wheels in the back of a Golf. Yeah, 5-door Golf, you can. You'd be amazed what they can soak up. You can move out in a Golf.
Well, you can. You still live at home.
I know. I reckon when I move out, I could move out in a Golf.
All right, £1,000.
For God's sake.
Yeah? Shake on it. One trip, take you out.
One trip?
Yeah.
I suppose I haven't got any wardrobes.
No, you don't even own your bed, do you? But your mum owns your bed.
No, I own my bed.
But he has got a crap load of car parts underneath his bed that he keeps forgetting.
They do take up a lot of space.
Oh, and probably a lot of cash.
A lot of cash.
I've got a lot of clothes and a lot of shoes.
And at least 10,000 different car keys for things that he doesn't own
anymore. Watches, fake watches.
I've got a piss off. But I would like something like that, like 330D, GTD.
All right.
I just want something efficient, sensible, but also something to make my commute a bit easier because there is a lot of traffic. And I was thinking the only thing that I wish that G31 had was radar cruise.
Yeah.
I will say my Range Rover has radar cruise control and I commuted in that yesterday and I forgot how nice it is to have radar cruise control. And it is one main thing that I would probably sell the Jag for.
Mm.
I'd buy another Jag, the exact same, but I would like to buy one with radar cruise
control. Why don't we retrofit it? And put big cushions at the front just in case.
Okay. But backwards. So when someone comes up close behind
it
him...
It speeds up.
Yeah, I like that.
Isn't that like the worst personal driving style? That is the thing that annoys me the most is when you're coming to overtake someone and they're like,
Isn't that a Tesla driver?
Yes.
Any Tesla driver.
Oh, God.
Yeah, and they have to show how fast they can accelerate.
Yeah, they do.
If you're listening to this in Tesla, please could you be a little bit more gently on your accelerator pedal and your brakes? Thank you.
Anything else?
What else have I been up to? I've been working on my Touareg.
Yeah.
So that's being fixed up as we speak on my channel, and I'm going to zhuzh it and do all nastiness and all of it. What else have I been up to? What did we do?
Well, you released an episode on Saturday, didn't you?
Released an episode on Saturday on my 540i Supercharged, which has gone terribly wrong.
The channel or the car?
No, the car.
Oh, right.
I started it up a minute ago just to do a little video for my mate because he's going to help me try and fix it. And it is quite bad.
Is that what I heard?
Yeah.
Because I was at my laptop and I could just hear...
I thought it was some sort of like race engine, old school classic car sort of thing. And it turns out it was just Taylor's really smooth V8.
So we're still trying to work out if it's an ECU/electrical issue or if it's internal to the engine. Okay. I'm hoping that it's the before, not the latter.
Yeah.
If it is internal to the engine, it will be something like timing chain or something like that, which is whole front end off.
So how close are you to just going standalone ECU?
So I am fairly close to it, but I want to make sure that this is not internally... I don't want to put a standalone ECU on it and realise that the engine's blown up.
Also, the one thing I will say, if you put a standalone ECU as well, unless you get like a really advanced one or one that you have to spend a lot of time on, your cruise control, you lose as well.
I know, and that's my biggest gripe. Yeah. I didn't, because so it's easier. If you have an electronic throttle, you can have your cruise control with a standalone ECU, that's fine.
Yeah.
But mine's got a cable throttle, and trying to maintain that is quite hard, as it turns out.
Yeah, you don't want to lose that, do you?
Yeah, especially on a car like that. I'd like to have my cruise control. I know it sounds silly, but it's quite annoying when stuff like that doesn't work.
Yeah.
So yeah, hopefully on Friday, I'm going to take it to James and we're going to have a look at it and see if we can work out what is actually wrong with the car.
Okay, yeah.
And then maybe get to the bottom of it. If it is internal, I'll probably just have to bring it back and rebuild it, which will be...
Brilliant.
An absolute headache.
Yeah.
But hopefully, you know, I will persevere with it. I love the car. You know, I don't plan on getting...
Well, you've got a spare engine.
I have got a spare engine. I did think about that.
Have you remembered where this... Look, does Alex know where this spare engine is?
E46.
Yeah. Oh, well done.
There you go.
And I could maybe sell a gearbox to a certain someone to help me pay for all the repairs.
Yes, you could indeed. Gareth would be very interested in that gearbox.
So, that's going to be happening. Going to get to the bottom of that. Obviously, we went to Egg.
We did. We went to a place called...
Egg. We drove all the way to Austria. And this was completely unknown to me. You guys surprised me with this. We'd just done a road trip to Austria. And I thought it was because we were going to go for all the mountains and all that. But we went all the way to Austria to go to Egg.
Well, we also did go to the mountains.
But I didn't realise that the reason that we went to Austria was to go to Egg.
Yeah.
No, I'll be honest. The whole reason that we actually entered Austria was to go to Egg.
I know. And I didn't realise that at the time. I thought I was just excited to go to Austria. And then when I realised we were going to Egg...
Yeah, I got a message from someone on Instagram saying, oh, I hear you're going to Austria. Did you know there's a place called Egg?
Yeah.
And then I messaged Roy and he said, that's perfect. That's literally on our way.
Yeah.
So
we went there. It was really, really amazing trip. Yeah. That was great.
So that video, or that little mini video series, is going to come out in a few weeks' time.
Mm.
And I cannot wait a few weeks.
No.
What, a few months?
It'd be like a month from now,
All right, 4 weeks. A few weeks.
We're so far ahead.
A few weeks is 2 weeks.
No, that's a couple of weeks. Have we not had this discussion?
I feel like we have.
A couple is 2 weeks. A few is like three or more.
No.
We are so far ahead and so efficient.
We are. Yeah. Anyway, I can't wait to see your reaction when we get into...
Egg.
Thank you.
Although we did almost miss his reaction.
We did, yeah.
What
a time.
So I sort of knew there was something going on.
But you had no idea it was Egg.
No, genuinely not a clue. I thought we were doing a typical old, stick him on a bungee jump or something ridiculous.
I was tempted to do that.
Yeah, and I was getting a bit anxious because I get really anxious when you guys prank me with this stuff. So... I was getting really anxious, and then the GoPro died, and it was literally like a few, like 100 meters.
I could see the sign for Egg in front of me because I was the lead car, you were behind me, and then you just go over the radio, I won't be able to do anything at the moment because the GoPro's just died. And I look to my right, and I'm just about overtaking a cyclist, and I'm like, oh God, I can see the sign for Egg. We're going to have to pull over. So I had to slow right down.
I didn't even see it.
We stopped on a main road. It wasn't the best place to stop. No, it was okay. It was necessary.
And then I could just hear Taylor going, what the is going on?
Yeah, I was going, there's something going on here. I don't like this. Because I thought, they're going to sling me off a mountain or something ridiculous. But no, it was my dream come true.
It was your dream come true.
To Egg.
Yeah.
And we had some patisserie items.
Oh, we had the best patisserie.
And and had a guff, and it was great.
Yes.
It was very great.
Indeed, it was very good. Which you will see in a couple of weeks.
No. In a few weeks.
In 1,000 years.
In a million.
In a month. In 1,000 months.
Yeah.
Okay. Next year.
Look, there's so much with the Croatia trip has all got to come out now, which turns out is longer than we thought it was going to be.
It was long.
I didn't realise the amount of footage we got.
Yeah. Like, we did a lot.
We've got our editor, Mike, and he's struggling to cut it all down.
Yeah. I just had a look at his edit and I saw me squatting next to a police car. And I was like, I did get pulled over and fined.
It's the amount of stuff that I forgot that happened in that. When you broke down on the way to Tom Lenthal's and Taylor had to push you.
Yeah. Taylor rammed into me.
Yeah. Taylor rammed your behind.
Pushed you from behind.
Yeah, not for the first time. Yeah.
Well, you always back up onto me. So.
Oh, I do. Yeah.
And I got really seasick this weekend as well.
What, because of me backing up onto you?
You did back up onto me on the ferry. Yeah, yeah, but we went on a ferry on the way back.
We did. Yeah.
In the middle of a storm.
Yep.
And I don't really get seasick on boats, but I do on ships.
Yeah.
So right. I was on the ship and it was a bit rocky and I went a bit pale, didn't I, Rory?
Yeah.
I can't actually describe to you how close I was to throwing up.
Well, we could see.
My mouth was watering. And I, you know, you feel sweaty, but you're cold.
Yeah. You were pale and then you had slightly gone to that grayish sort of color where I was like, oh.
So my plan was to, I was like, right, I'm going to face the horizon and I'm going to sit on a table on my own.
Yeah.
And if this doesn't get any better, I'm going to the toilet.
Yeah.
And I was going to throw up. That was my next port of call. And it did get a bit better.
Did you see the Spanish man in front of you?
Mm.
There was a Spanish man sitting on a table by himself. He was profusely sweating.
Yeah.
His face was glistening.
It looked like someone had just chucked a bucket of water over him.
Yes. It was the worst.
Yeah.
He looked
very ill. And then I think he did go and throw up very violently.
Yeah, because then one of our guys went into the toilet and went, there's a man just gone in there and absolutely thrown up everywhere.
Really that was him.
Yeah. My big mistake was as I got on the ferry when we were docked, I had a full English breakfast.
We did have a full English.
Probably quite bad because all I could taste was the beans when I got it. It's not good. But other than that, the only other thing that I would like to inform you all of, which is very exciting.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't sleep last night.
Go on.
Do you know what? This is really exciting.
I am so
excited. Do we have
a
button for that? What does that do? Can I press it?
Yeah.
Oh, it's back.
I haven't heard that for a while.
It's back. So, sorry, that's the one and only time you're going to get that. And that also scared me.
That was quite loud.
Yeah, yeah.
So tomorrow,
I'm
going to North Wales.
Yes.
To buy back a car that I regret selling the most of any car I've ever owned.
Really?
And it's the most I've ever been upset selling a car.
Okay, okay.
And I've thought about it since the day I sold it.
Yeah.
Genuinely.
Is it the F11?
No.
Would you like to give people just a little clue of what it could be? Also, this video is coming out on Friday. This Friday, in 2 days' time.
It's green.
It's green, okay. Should hopefully be enough of a clue.
Yeah, it will be, yeah. But
reliable car?
No.
No, okay.
I am so excited.
Fast
genuinely.
Car?
It's always quite fast, yeah. But I am, genuinely, like, I'm actually a bit nervous.
Fully original car?
No.
Okay.
Not quite.
Yeah.
But genuinely, like, buzzing.
Overheat when it drives backwards?
Yes.
Yeah, it does do that.
Yeah.
Engine swapped?
Yeah. Just you're giving it all away. But everyone that I've told about this car that I'm buying back has gone, no way, that's so cool. Like everyone's been really excited.
Yeah, yeah. I'm very happy for you. Yeah,
and I know that you said that it wouldn't be the other day because you already sold it once. This is genuinely a forever car for me. I put a grand on it.
All right. £1,000.
Forever.
There you go.
Yeah.
Forever.
Till I die.
Till you die.
Yeah.
Oh, what are you going to do?
Oh, excellent. I'll put 10 grand on it. Well, we're already at 1,000.
You do realise that's a lose-lose for you because when you die, you can then go, oh, I'm going to collect my... Oh, but you're dead.
Now you say it like that.
Well, we've just shaken on it.
Well, you'll have to put it in the glove box of the car.
Of the...
Mercedes. You'll have to put it in the glove box.
Okay.
All right, that's the rules.
All right.
If I die
and
I've still got it, which I will have, you slip it in the glove box. And
then I get to keep
there.
The car.
Sorry. You're saying that this dies after you.
I should bloody well hope so.
Look at him. He's like 72.
I'm peak fitness.
Don't know if you've met me, Rory. I'm quite accident prone. I stacked it with two cups of coffees over there.
You know
I've got a lump on my arm, which is sore here, genuinely.
Oh, really?
And I lean on stuff. Like I was leant on a table the other day. I was like, oh, my arm. It's killing me.
Well, that's what happens when you wake up in the morning when you're 40. Literally, I wake up and I'm like, oh. Anyway, Rory, what have you been up to?
Bailey update.
Yeah. Mm.
So me and Ellie are going on holiday tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had to drop him off.
Oh.
And he's having his first nights away.
Do you know what? I bet he's over the moon.
No, he's not.
He's over the moon.
No, I've got a picture. Look, he looks so sad.
Does he?
Yeah.
Is he going to look sad?
It is Ellie's sister.
Oh, so it's not going in a kennel?
No.
Oh.
But look how sad he looks in the back of the Range Rover. Look at him.
No, he's just sad to be back in your car.
No, he's sad to it.
He's sat in the boot going, this wants a DPF regen.
You touched on it briefly, but you didn't really explain. But we did our amazing dream car road trip.
Mm. Yeah.
So I took my Aston. You took your 993.
Oh, sorry. Aston. Very easy.
993. Yeah. And then Taylor took his 6 Series.
Mm.
I'm not going to say it, but I think you know what? I'm going to say it. I felt a bit left out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Your car, I really like your Aston. I genuinely really do. I think it's a lovely car. But it didn't match the cars that me and Alex had.
No, it's just you had class. Old clocks and mine was a bit modern. Yeah.
Just not an icon like ours.
But I don't dislike it and I'm still glad you brought it.
I felt like I should have gone on a dream road car trip with Will from Top Dead Center.
I don't think you'd have fitted in there.
I would have because it's a supercar, man.
I think if you did like a big Ford meet, just slip in there. That'd be great.
You know, the amount of times it was so annoying where these two managed to somehow park next to a car and it just happened to be a Ford and they were like, oh, look, Rory's right next to me. God. And then literally, it was like I'd been some sort of shunned child or something where they would purposely go away from me in the car park. I would park up first.
No, that's not even true.
I would park up first and then these two would then go and park somewhere further away and then go, look at our cars. Aren't they nice?
I think the words were, God, they do look good together, don't they?
They do, yeah.
Yeah. And I was there all going like, it's all right.
I must say though, Rory, yours did sound fabulous.
It did. It's very fast.
It's very fast.
You did your new top speed?
I did, yeah.
What was that?
163 on the
auto. That's good. On the M25 on the way to the ferry.
No, it was the M40. It's no speed limits.
On the way back, I let Chris drive it from Merch. Mm-hmm. And he did 159.
Which is also very good going. But that's his top
I was
speed.
Slightly worried because Chris then informed me afterwards. He was like going, oh yeah, my contact lenses were starting to dry up. And I was like, really, Chris? Really?
Yeah.
So do you know, out of all the road trips we've ever done, there's two places that I've thought about wanting to go back to the most.
Yeah.
Top of that list is Saint-Tropez.
Yep, give you that.
And second that list is those passes that
the Suston Pass,
yeah,
mind blowing,
yeah,
genuinely.
We got some really great footage there,
and I've been thinking to myself recently, when I go back, not if, when, what car would I want to take? And I know what car I want to take.
Is it the Golf GTD?
No.
Green?
Yes.
Ah,
can we mention this car?
Because it's a separate conversation. Is it a Mini?
It's still a surprise.
Now you've ruined it.
No,
we haven't ruined it yet. Is it my Mini?
But that is the car I'd want to take the most.
Okay.
I thought about the M5 or whatever. I thought, do you know what? No, I'd want to take.
M5's too fast for those roads. You want something lightweight. I would love to take my Clio Williams.
I would love to take my Spitfire.
Yes, I'll give you that. That'd be great.
Imagine the roof down with all the little... Yeah. Oh, that'd be great.
You said you'd like to take Phil.
Oh, I would as well. Yeah.
So why don't we do a dream drive road trip?
Dream drive road trip?
Yeah. So where you take your clock...
It's a bit of a tongue twister.
You take...
Yeah.
Phyllis.
I just don't think the Spitfire would fit in again. Oh. Yeah.
It's too old.
Yeah. We'll figure it out. But in the meantime, we do have a Dream Cars road trip coming up.
It was really good.
Very, very soon.
Really good.
But yeah, we've got two series that are now filmed and being edited.
Yes.
And we are currently buying cars for the next series, which is very exciting.
Oh, which I'm excited about. You are the one excited. I'm looking at is gold.
It is gold. And it's got a brown interior.
We've got so much exciting stuff to come.
We do.
Yeah.
And on the V2 as well. It's all good at the moment. Yeah, we're loving life.
It's very exciting, yeah.
Any more updates from you, Rory? Any life updates?
No, that's it. Yeah.
All right.
Mini, actually.
Yeah.
Still shit,
but it's going to be less shit it's at really the end shit. Of this week. Though.
So shit. I drove it to the body shop. So slow.
It's quite slow.
So I've handed it back to Chris.
After we did our video.
Yeah. Because we just need to blend in a few of the panels. And then also the body kit does need painting because that front bumper was very sore. So Chris is going to sort that out from Imagination Creations.
Yeah.
So he's sorting that all out and then we'll be able to then fully finish that Mini.
Yeah.
And then I may have bought another bit to it.
What?
Which was a decap. Well, it's not a decap. Yeah. It's a sport cat.
It's got a sport cat. It's probably a 100 cell.
Yeah, 100 cell sport cat. And then I should be able to tune that car and it should go from 170 something horsepower to 240.
How long do you want that to happen.
I think that might last at least one episode.
A whole episode?
Yeah, a whole episode, yeah.
Because we are planning on taking these cars to the track.
Yes.
Because I have also done a buy.
You have. Mm.
Do you know, I'm really, really excited to see your Mini on a dyno.
What? Is that because it's going to blow up?
I can absolutely guarantee that it's not currently got 170 horsepower. In fact, I would put money on it.
How much? £1,000? Oh, that you're right.
What do you think it's got?
I reckon it's got 140.
That's quite a bit.
But
off.
Why would it have such low power?
Because it's shit.
Is that like a mechanical engine? Because it has a brand new turbo.
Yeah, it's not the turbo. It could be a bit of a boost leak. Maybe the timing's out a little bit. Yeah. I don't know. It just doesn't feel.
But doesn't
as fast
it feel
as it
slower
be.
Than it did? Didn't you say, Rory?
I don't know. I think it needs still a good. I think the spark plugs need changing. There's a few basic things that we need to do first. Mm. Also, I did have a look. I remember plugging in the computer and I did see a code for a cat issue. Mm-hmm. So I don't know whether, because they do sometimes have those cats where they actually get so hot that they actually melt the cats and restrict
like
the airflow.
Like on my Alpha.
Yeah, because it's literally right next to the manifold.
It could be that.
But where's your coolant going?
In the cat?
No, the coolant is staying in, but the coolant, so that there's also another thing where we may have to take the front back off.
Oh, my God. Oh, brilliant. It's so the car that keeps on giving.
They have a little oil cooler where the coolant runs through the oil cooler thing sort of thing, but it's literally in the front bit of the engine. And at the moment, the coolant seems to be a bit oily covered,
yeah.
Which would typically point to head gasket, but we did a head gasket test and it didn't actually have any problems.
Did we do the test correctly?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. It could still need a head gasket.
It's just
well.
Shit. Yeah.
But look, there's so many less. Things. There's it'll so many shit. Things wrong with that.
Yeah.
But yeah, Mini is trying to get better.
Yeah. You're excited about that, aren't you?
I'm actually really excited about it. Yeah.
That's good.
And you've bought yourself a little hot number as well that we're going to...
Yeah, a little hot red chili number.
I got
a message from a man on Instagram... And he said, I've got this, I'll tell you, it's a Civic Type R, EP3. And he wants £1,100. It's that got high cheap. Miles, sticky caliper. He's in Wales. He just wants rid of it. So I was like, yeah, bit ropey. Going to buy that. Give it a little zhuzh up, little tart up as well. And then we're going to take the Civic versus your Mini versus...
My car.
Your car?
Mm.
What, the green car?
Yeah.
Not the red
car? All the red one.
The trophy would be good as
the
well.
The red
then.
One's not fixed
yet. Oh, yeah, because it still needs work on the suspension, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So we'll have supercharged, turbocharged, and NA. But yeah, apart from that, be looking for storage for motor vehicles. Because we need,
as you can probably tell, this is a small portion. If yes. You're watching this with your eyes.
Yeah. So behind us, we've got 309 GTI. We've got my Clio Williams E30 and Phil, my V6 MX5. And this is... The storage unit, aka, and also the podcast unit. The next door is TDC and they need more space.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So we're trying to expand sort of because Top Dead Center need a second bay so they can work on a car. So this will turn into probably the second bay.
Yes.
And then that leaves a problem of where do these all go? And also we're getting nicer cars as well.
We are. Yeah. Yeah. But there is a solution.
We've got a massive unit.
We looked at a unit yesterday, thanks to Tom Lenthal. He was going to... Well, we were going to go in 50-50 with Tom, but he walked in there. He was like, no, it's too dusty because he wants like high-end stuff, doesn't he? But it's perfect for us.
Mm.
We don't have anything like super, super, super expensive. Tom Lenthal expensive.
No.
Yeah. I would like to. And I've been one
car.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about doing this recently. I'd like to take a note of all the cars that we own between us and work out how many we actually have. Because I reckon we got about 50.
No, I don't think we're quite there.
I've got eight.
I've got about 10 or 11.
Okay, what, between the three of us or everyone here?
Everyone here.
Okay, everyone here, yeah, about 50.
Maybe
a bit more.
We've got a lot of cars.
We do.
How many do you think we've got between us three?
Us three, I'd say 50.
There's a lot, isn't there?
There is a lot.
There's a lot. Yeah. Like, if you include some of that... Channel cars that we will keep realistically.
Yeah. But we now have, what is it, like 2,500 square feet of storage or thereabouts?
No.
It's 8,000.
Oh, it's 8,000.
It's 8,000.
So we've got 6,000 square feet.
Yeah, it's because we're getting two-thirds. Yeah.
6,000 square feet. So that we can probably fit all of our cars in there and no one else.
Well, I hope so. If not, we've got big problems.
We do have big problem. So that's very exciting. So next week, we're going to have storage, which is great.
Yep.
Which means very handy because I've run out of space.
And
well.
we can buy more shit as well. Mm. We're going to have to do that. Apart from that, what else? I went to see Hercules in the theatre.
Famously one of the best soundtracks Disney made.
So, interesting story. I walked into Hercules and I was like, never seen this before. So every song for me was brand new.
Yeah.
And it was very shouty. Lots of very loud. And the clapping and the whooping and the hollering, it's very loud. You know when it's so loud, it makes your ears just...
Yeah, but you have got quite sensitive ears.
Did you like Go the Distance song?
What's that?
It's like the melody sort of one.
Give us a demonstration.
And come on, you love sing-alongs.
Come on, Rory.
I can't try and remember
you love
the
musicals.
Lyrics.
Musicals are your favourite. Da 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 da
da da da da da da. That does ring a bell. Da da da. That does ring a bell, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, no, that was lovely. It was lovely, Rory.
That's out of The Lion King, isn't it?
I found the storyline a little bit weak.
Hercules is great.
No, I find the storyline a bit weak.
Do you know what you would have loved?
Yeah, go on.
Tarzan.
Tarzan, that'd be good. I really enjoyed Frozen.
Do you know
Frozen had so many ups and downs.
Why would you have liked Tarzan? Come on.
Tarzan. Because it's got a naked man.
No.
No?
Come on. Tarzan.
Tarzan.
You would love Tarzan.
I would love Tarzan.
Have you watched Tarzan? The cartoon?
The cartoon, yeah. He's a kid who's going through the Jungle Book?
No. So Tarzan.
Oh, the gorilla. No.
It is with the gorillas. Yeah. It's okay. The guy who grows up with the gorillas.
Yeah.
But why would you have loved Tarzan?
Did he have an E46 M3?
I was going to say, did they drive rear-wheel drive?
No. So Tarzan
go on.
Has a soundtrack and it is all, I believe,
oh,
all
is
of
it Phil Collins?
Written by Phil Collins.
Oh, there you
and
go.
And it's literally one of the best soundtracks to any films. Like
that's
it's
cool.
It's I don't know, Phil Collins is just Phil Collins. So he just came up with this soundtrack and everyone was just what? And I think it won every award. Oh. Like it was crazy.
So I grew up on like German stuff.
Yeah.
And TV shows. So a lot of this stuff passed me by. So it's all new to me. It's fantastic.
Mm.
I get to relive my childhood through Amelia.
Watch Tarzan with Amelia. Right. You'll sit there and just go, this is great.
Yeah. Lion King I've done. That's a good one. Yeah, what else is
Lion
there?
King was all right.
What?
Mulan.
Moulin Rouge?
No.
Moulin Rouge is great.
Moulin Rouge.
No, I like that song. No, Moulin.
Rouge.
Moulin.
Okay, right. Yeah.
Okay. Watch Mulan.
Moana's good.
Yeah.
I like Moana, yeah.
Yeah, Moana's great.
Do you know, I've never seen a musical or anything like
what?
That. Ever.
What?
Ever.
What?
Right, we are doing a company outing.
I've never been to the theatre.
That's
never
mental.
Been to a theatre. I've never seen a musical.
We need to educate this man.
Have you gone to Moulin Rouge yet in London?
No.
Oh. You should take Rita to that.
You would have.
Is that a kind of thing that you take your wife to?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's a musical.
Is it not full of naked women?
No, it's just a musical.
You would have thought living near London, I'd seen quite a lot, but I've been to see Peter Kay live. That was really good.
Is it Peter Kay the musical?
No, it won't. But Peter Kay was really good. I enjoyed Peter Kay live.
Yeah.
And I've seen Madness live. That was really good.
Okay, yeah.
I've still got the hat from that. You know, the little red.
Yeah.
What is it with a little tassel on it? What are they called?
That little hat.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're called.
A funny name.
That is equivalent to like having a discussion about Michelin star restaurants and then Taylor just going, yeah, I've had a kebab once.
Yeah, I've been down a calf.
Should we move on?
Yes.
Oh, Amelia's also ill at the moment. She's got like teething and fever and stuff. So I hope you get better. I know you can't understand anything I'm saying and you're not listening, but yes.
But
I
she has better. Also now got a Porsche.
She's got a Porsche. I bought a Porsche 356, little toy model from the Porsche Museum.
Mm.
It was only €7.99.
Oh, she loves
for nothing.
It.
She loves it. She literally loves it. She'll walk up to it and she'll go, car. And I'm like, yes, Porsche 359. And she's like, car. But it's one of those pull back ones and it goes under its own steam.
That's nice.
I think that's one of my best purchases. Doors open. It's fantastic quality.
Mm.
If you go to the Porsche Museum, get one. They're at the till. Right then, before we continue, a massive shout out to this week's video sponsor, Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow
your business. Shopify is the commerce platform revolutionizing millions of businesses worldwide. And whether it's stickers, t-shirts, or even food and fuel tickets that you're trying to sell, Shopify simplifies selling in person and online, and it even covers all of your sales channels. Shopify even gets you selling across social media marketplaces like Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. But not only that, because Shopify is also full of industry-leading tools to supercharge your growth, giving you complete control over your business or your brand without having to learn new skills in design or coding, as well as supporting you every step of the way with their award-winning help and an extensive business course library. Now, we've been using Shopify for quite a few years now, haven't we?
We have, yeah.
We've got multiple shops.
We have.
And Chris from Merch is currently on holiday, but you work very closely with him. So why is Shopify so good, and why has it helped supercharge our growth?
Shopify is great. So we actually have started drop shipping, which basically means that, because obviously we can't print things quick enough, we can send them out to other manufacturers, and we can actually split the locations. So we can have, like, we will fulfill the orders here for what we have in stock here, and then we can fulfill the orders at the actual place that they print, sort of the jumpers and t-shirts.
Yeah.
And then they can send them directly out. So it allows us to split locations, but it means that we can grow at an extreme rate, which is great.
And Shopify's also got loads of plugins that you can use. You can do coding, you can make it as pretty or as, I mean, you can do it on your mobile as well.
Yeah.
So it's great.
Honestly, it's so easy, and they've simplified everything to make it so. Literally, even you could use it, Alex.
Me?
Yeah.
Let's not try that. Okay. Yeah, I could definitely give it a go. So then, if it's time for you to get serious about selling, get Shopify today. And you can sign up for a £1 per month trial period at shopify.co.uk/autoalex. That is shopify.co.uk/autoalex. This is Possibility, powered by Shopify. Which car came first is a new game in which I give you three motor vehicles. And then you have to tell me which one of those came first.
Okay.
And give me the dates, the years that you think that they came out as well. So I'm going to...
Is this just going to be another game I lose at because Taylor's a little encyclopedia of car stuff?
So I actually did this quiz because it's an online quiz.
Yeah.
I think the average score is 5 out of 10.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I got 7 out of 10. So
but you're a journalist. So you knew when stuff came out, especially...
Oh, because I was around, in the 40s and 50s. Mm. Well,
Alex went all the way from the creation of a horse to a car.
And an abacus horse car. Yeah. Right, we have got the Volkswagen Golf, Ford Fiesta, or the Vauxhall Astra. Which car came first and which year do you think it was born?
I want to say Golf.
It was the Golf and it was 1970.
Okay. Both of you are correct. It was the Volkswagen Golf. The date was, or the year was, 1974.
Oh.
Yep. The Ford Fiesta was born in 1976, and the Vauxhall Astra was born in 1979.
Was it a Vauxhall Astra, or was it an Opel something?
Probably be an Opel, wouldn't it? Mm. Yeah. All right, next group of cars. We have got the Renault Zoe, Nissan Leaf, and the Tesla Model S.
Leaf.
Which car came first?
Leaf.
You say Leaf. Which year do you think it was
2006.
Made?
I think it was a Nissan Leaf. Yep. And I think it was 2008.
Okay. I can inform you, both of you are correct. Two out of two. It was the Leaf. 2010.
Really?
Yeah. And then the Model S was 2012 and the Zoe was 2012 as well.
Okay.
So the Leaf has been around for 15 years. And which is why a lot of them have got 8 miles of range.
They are all rubbish and they're all on Auto Trader for 500 quid.
Yeah. Next group of cars. We have got the Toyota Corolla, the Volkswagen Passat, and the Honda Civic.
Civic.
Toyota Corolla. And I'm going to say 1972.
And you think Civic. What year?
I'm going 1979.
I can tell you. It is the Toyota Corolla 1966.
Wow. What?
Yeah. The Civic was 72. Oh.
Do you know that the Toyota, for all of its iterations and generations, has been the largest selling car in the world?
I didn't know that.
What, the Corolla?
Yeah.
Okay.
Second is the Ford F-150.
Next group, we've got Audi A3, Mercedes A-Class, or the BMW 1 Series. Which came first?
It was the Mercedes A-Class, 1998.
A3.
Mm-hmm. What year do you think that was made?
99.
Taylor, you are correct.
Oh,
four
shock.
Out of four. 1996 for the A3.
Oh, close.
For the and wait, for the A-Class?
A3. A-Class was 97.
Mm.
Next set of cars.
Wait, what?
What?
You just said 96 for the A3.
Yep.
I said A3. He said A-class.
Oh, did you say A-class?
Mm.
You won that one!
Yay!
Sorry,
three. Damn it. I don't, got
take,
away with that.
Don't take that away from me.
So is it three apiece now?
Or it is, got, yeah.
Okay,
no.
Three apiece.
Yeah.
The okay. A3 came before the A-class.
Yes, by 1 year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
All right, next car. We've got Corvette Stingray, Ford Mustang, or the Porsche 911.
Oh.
So Mustang, 65.
65. Mustang, 65. Taylor?
This is a tough one.
Yep.
I actually don't know the answer to this, so I'm going to guess. I'm going to say Porsche 911, 1960. Nice. It's a guess.
Okay.
Oh, I think it's the Stingray, actually, but I'm going to
you're going to stick?
I think the Stingray was 63 or something, wasn't it?
It was indeed the Stingray, 1963.
Wow.
But you don't get that point.
Oh my God, I got it all right.
Porsche 911 was 1964 and the Mustang was also 1964.
Yeah. I know that you could get a Mustang in 64.
Mm. So it's still three apiece.
Oh, I can't, but I should have switched.
We are now on question number six. We've got the Mercedes G-Wagon, the Jeep Wrangler, the Land Rover Defender.
G-Wagon. I'm going 77.
I'm going to say G-Wagon. It's a G-Wagon.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say it's 74.
The answer is G-Wagon, 1979.
Oh.
The Wrangler was 1986 and the Defender was, any guesses?
The Defender
Defender's
came out
1990.
Yeah.
1983.
Oh.
I don't think it was called a Defender then, though.
I think it was. I did. I'm pretty sure I even
was it,
checked.
Was it called a Defender?
Because it
then?
Went Series 3 and then Defender, didn't it?
Yeah, but
oh no, yeah. I have seen a Defender on a B Reg, which is 85. So yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it says Land Rover Defender, okay. 1983.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fair.
So scores on the doors?
We're level pegging.
We're level, we're still, yeah.
Four apiece.
No, five apiece.
Five apiece.
Question seven. The BMW Z3, Audi TT, or the Mazda MX5?
MX5.
MX5.
Okay, year?
1989.
90.
It's 89. Both of you get the answer though. Get the point. So six apiece.
Yeah.
Next one: Mini Fiat 500 or the 2CV.
2CV. 64.
I'm gonna say Fiat 500. 69. I guess on the date.
Okay. The answer is 2CV.
Really?
Yep. 2CV was 1948.
No.
Fiat 500.
48.
Fiat 500 was 1957, and the Mini 1959.
You could buy a Citroen 2CV from 1948.
You could indeed.
You could buy one of them in 1990.
Right, next one we have got Jaguar E-Type, Chevrolet Camaro, or the Dodge Charger.
I'm going to go E-Type.
Mm-hmm.
62.
So 1962 E-Type. What are you
I'm
saying,
I'm going to say E-Type 61.
Okay, the answer is, it is the E-Type 1961.
Woo!
Well done, everybody. Okay, next set of cars, please. We have got the Hyundai i30, Dacia Sandero, or the Kia C'ED.
Dacia Sandero.
Yeah.
2003.
I'm saying it's the Sandero.
You're saying Sandero. You're saying what are you saying?
Sandero.
You're both saying Sandero. You're both incorrect. It is the Kia Ceed.
It was 2006.
Oh. Sandero was 2008. And that's it. That's the game. So game's finished.
Who won?
I think
I won
by one.
Yeah, I won by
Did
one.
Did you get seven?
I got eight.
Did you?
Yeah, I only got two wrong, I think.
Oh, okay. So that means seven. That Rory knows more about cars than Taylor.
And Brilliant. You.
And me. Shit, why did I mention that? Anyway, your prize, Rory,
yeah?
is to tell us the news.
Oh, the news.
Yes.
The news. Obviously, Jaguar had their massive data breach.
Yeah.
The news is that
they was hacked.
They've what they've been down like 6 weeks, 7 weeks or something.
Six or 7 weeks. Yeah.
It was me.
They are now just.
You can't even start a bloody laptop.
I must admit, I did struggle a bit earlier.
Yeah,
I was typing away, and Rory looked at me very confused.
It looked like you know, like an old person typing on a typewriter.
But my mouse.
That is how it looked like.
Seeing Taylor at the helm of a laptop is very unnatural.
I don't do all of that rubbish.
Yeah.
So Jaguar have just started production again. So it's taken them this long. And they're still like, they still are nowhere near what they don't know where parts are still. They don't know all of this stuff.
Do you think their cars will come out with all the wrong bits on them?
Well,
do you think they'll come out with a red car with a blue door?
What is it that they're making?
Oh, that's a good point.
This is the thing I wanted to know. Are they still making pre-existing orders, or is this all of the new stuff?
No, I think it's stuff they have to catch up on, surely.
Or is this just the Land Rover side of things?
You know, Jaguar, I think there was a statistic last month or so, sold 30 cars in Europe.
Bloody hell.
So I don't think they're making cars.
No, they're definitely not making cars.
And then also, to top that off, the government has had to give them 1.5 billion.
What, our government?
Yeah. Do you know how much £1.5 billion is?
So it's that's 1,500 million.
Yeah, that's 1,500 million.
It's large, yeah.
It's wham.
Yeah, so why has our government done that?
Because we have over, apparently, 100,000 people working for firms that support this Jaguar thing.
So do you know what?
It'd be 100,000 people out of a job.
I'm sorry, the whole Ingenium thing...
Yeah.
It's actually upsetting how bad that is, because so many people have been done over with Ingenium.
So I had one of Ellie's sisters looking recently at buying a Velar, and guess what? It had a 2-litre Ingenium engine.
The petrol
I was trying to explain, because I think a lot of people, when we, like, if you're not a car person and you say, do not buy that car, mm-hmm. it's had a terrible engine, I don't think they quite fully understand how bad that engine is.
They don't grasp the reliability.
Horrendous.
No, there are people who are going bankrupt because they're buying these cars on loans, like, because they're not cheap cars, and then they'll literally do 1,000 miles and then the engine blows up and then that's it, and then they're left with a car, and the engine blowing up on an Ingenium car writes it off nine times out of ten.
But do you know, I was looking into this recently, it's not just the engines. So the Ingeniums, they suffer with engines.
Yeah.
They suffer with turbos. They've got two EGR valves.
Yep.
They suffer with DPFs. They suffer with gearboxes. They suffer with differentials. Jesus. They literally... All of the drivetrain just disintegrates.
Maybe we should buy one of them for cheap and just dispel myths as we go along.
But
maybe that should be your new daily driver.
No, I would rather put pins in my eyes, because do you know what? It actually upsets me seeing the general public that just want a nice car. All right, they are a bit flashy. It is a bit about the image, whatever. But they're going out and they're spending their hard-earned money on a nice car, and it's so poorly made, and I think they're being missold.
I really do feel like something should be. This has gone past the point where it's just unreliability.
Yeah,
this is a
disgrace. Genuinely, and I genuinely feel quite strongly about it.
Yeah.
And as a result, I've lost a lot of love and respect for Jaguar Land Rover.
Yeah,
a hell of a lot. There's some of them I love. You know, the L322.
Yeah,
even the Freelander I like. Whatever, but anything that's sort of new coming out of there, they're just so poorly made, and they're expensive, and people are just being missold this rubbish that looks nice.
There are far better options,
and and they're losing. I think it is such a good example as to why people go out and buy an electric car. Why would you go out and buy rubbish Ingenium Land Rover and you go out and buy a BYD or whatever? You never got to service it. You never got to look after it. You don't have to take it to a backstreet garage or anything like that. Mm. You just get in it, you plug it in, and you drive it.
But it's just a shame, because it never used to be that, did it?
No.
Like it's only in recent times where they've tried to push engine efficiency to the highest and then to make them as cheap as possible that they then, we went from aluminium rocker covers or steel rocker covers, to plastic, to plastic everything, to try and make it as cheap as possible.
In all fairness, it's not even that. Like, a lot of the modern stuff is still good. Those 530Ds out there, I probably guarantee you they'll do 200, 250,000 miles and they won't really have an issue. They're pretty robust, good engines. But the whole Ingenium, I think it's a scandal. I actually think it's a scandal.
I do feel like they should have to do, like, even if it's just something where they partially pay for the engine, a new engine, or partially pay for the repairs on these engines. Because they're not going for any fault of the owners. The owners are keeping to the service plans. And as soon as it goes past, and annoyingly, a lot of them, a lot of them have been going inside the actual warranty period.
Mm.
But it seems ridiculous that if you're one day outside of your warranty.
Oh, they turn it away.
And then they just go, not our problem anymore. And it's just like, well, my car's only 5 years old or whatever. And it's.
So anyway, back to the news.
Sorry.
Right.
Sorry. So, you can tell we feel quite strongly about it.
I could tell you. I'm just trying to get us back on track here. So Jaguar Land Rover are going to be producing cars, building cars again.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
With a little bit of help from the government, aka us.
Yes, well, yeah. It's a loan. Yeah. It is a loan that they will have to pay back, I believe.
Well, yeah, let's hope that they bloody can pay it back.
That's the thing, you just don't know how long they're going to last. Like
1.5 billion.
Do you think Jaguar Land Rover will ever go under?
Yes.
You do?
Yeah.
I think, personally, Jaguar, the Jaguar name's going to disappear.
Yeah, because they must have lost a lot.
Well, the thing is, and this goes on to my second part of news, Renault 5 Turbo, their
we
new
do love a
ultimate
Renault 5 Turbo. The new electric one?
The new, well, it's not electric though, is it the new one, I believe?
Isn't it?
Is it not electric? I don't know.
Renault 5 is electric.
Yeah, so the new Renault 5 Turbo is electric.
It's
yeah.
electric, but it's got like 500 horsepower.
And it's rear wheel drive.
Oh. Yeah.
It is £140,000.
Oh, dear.
Which is a bargain.
Yeah, yeah. But it, you know what? You look at it and you're just like, why is it that some manufacturers can get the harking back to retro
yeah.
so right, and then some of them get it so wrong?
For example, Ford Capri. I saw one of those yesterday and I was like, wow, that looks ugly and
old. Do you
know
what? It's probably a good car. And it looks all right, but just don't call it a Capri.
It's not a Capri. Don't use the name.
Like, look, the Renault 5 Turbo, you can see exactly, like, when you see them side by side.
If you put our one next to that one...
You're like, I can see how they've got from there to there.
Yeah. But we won't be able to do that for very long, will we, Rory? Put our one next to it.
No, because you have an opportunity to win our Renault 5 Turbo. Indeed. All you have to do is go on LLF Games, and you can buy a ticket for just...
Well, as little as 15p.
As little as 15p.
So that runs until Sunday. So if you want to potentially bag yourself a cool car for 15p, then tickets below.
And we spent a lot of money fixing it up as well.
We are, what did we say this morning?
So just in labour, because obviously we've had to get a mechanic to make sure it's all...
So Reese from Tom Lenthal. Yeah. So we're going to end up paying him about £5,000 in labour.
Yep.
So we are probably about £17,000 deep in that car.
Do you know what? Genuinely, I'm going to be sad to see that car go.
Yeah,
because
it's really cool.
It is such a sorted car now, and it is so cool to drive. Like that turbo noise and just the way it looks. You know, like when you drive it up the road and people point and go, oh my God. Yeah. It's one of those.
It's the most 90s car I think you could ever buy.
Yeah. And yeah, it's made me want one for sure. I want that one. But yeah, it's just awesome. Yeah. Awesome, awesome bit of kit.
So anyway, sorry, back to the whole retro manufacturers.
Yeah, so, you know what shows as well, right? So Renault 5 have done this.
Yeah.
And what do you think's happened? People are buying them. People love them.
Is there a waiting list or something?
I think there was a waiting list. I don't know whether there is anymore. Okay. But it was like a really sought after electric. I think it was like one of the top sellers.
I think it's the second best selling electric car in the UK right now.
And it's £140,000.
Not that one.
Not that one.
No, just a normal Renault 5. Okay. If we're selling that many Renault 5s at £140,000, something's gone wrong.
Yeah.
So I think they're making that turbo in a limited number.
Yes.
Correct?
You can still get one. They're over asking price now.
Brilliant. Yeah, I was going to say, you buy it, and then as soon as you buy it, it's going
to
be worth
it. It was meant
to be
135, but you can't get one for less than 140 at the moment.
Do you know what I like about that? Is that they've made a really cool car, the Renault 5, you know, electric, blah, blah. I really like them personally. I think they're super cool.
I've seen quite a few of those on the road.
Yeah, loads of them. Yeah. And then they've done that turbo. It's a bit of a laugh.
Yeah.
They've gone, we'll make this. We don't need to make it. It's got 500 brake. We'll stick all the power going to the back. It's got ridiculous wide arches on it, but how cool is that?
It's fair play to Renault, though. That is sort of what manufacturers did 20, 30 years
they
ago.
They are real car enthusiasts. Yeah, yeah. I remember when I went to like a preview of the new, what was it, Renault Megane RS, and I was speaking to one of the designers, exterior designers, and I was like, this was still in my car for all days. And I was like, yeah, tell me about it. What do you really like about it? And he's like, oh, you know, I really like the hips. It's just, you know, so cool. And there were Renault PR people there, and their mouths just dropped to the ground, and they're like, oh my God, someone from Renault designers has actually sworn, oh my God. And I was like, do you know what, that's like the coolest thing.
Yeah,
like you are passionate about this car, you love it, you literally love it so much you swear about
it.
But it goes back to that, why is it that Renault can get it spot on and it works for them, they're selling? Like, Why are other manufacturers not doing that?
Yeah.
Like, why are they not looking? And this goes back to my Jaguar point. Jaguar have so much history with awesome looking cars. Why are they not?
We can have an E-Type SUV, for example.
No, but why is there not like a modernish looking E-Type? Like, why are they not using this old design language that they have, but then modernizing it.
You sort of got that with the F-Type. Like the F-Type was a bit like that. And I think an F-Type's a great looking car.
They're 20 grand now as well. Yeah, they are dirt cheap.
I think they're really cool. I like an F-Type.
Yeah, yeah.
But there were so many other great cars. Like imagine if they bought out an electric car today. It was like a Sovereign. And it had four round headlights and it was modern but looked a bit,
badass.
Like if someone pulled up in that, you're getting murdered.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like you're in trouble.
Because even an F-Type, I know you're saying it was, but it still was a modern car.
Yeah, yeah.
As much as they say, oh yeah, the slope on the rear was to replicate the, it didn't really look. Like the Renault 5 directly looks a Renault 5. Yeah, it's exactly how it should be, just a modern version.
Yeah.
Like that is what manufacturers need to do. They need to look back at that old design language and go, how can we just modernize this and make it look better?
Realistically, modern cars now
are all the same.
They're just so bland.
But you have to also remember that 99.9% of the general public don't give a shit about
what you say. Why is it that Renault 5s are selling so well then?
Because they're limited in number.
No,
and
no,
they're
no,
collector's
no,
items.
The Renault 5s aren't.
No, the Renault.
Oh, sorry.
The Renault 5. This is what we're saying. The Renault 5 is just an everyday Joe car.
Mm.
Why is it selling so well?
People like.
It's still a cool looking car, isn't it?
Well, but that's what I mean. If it's a cool looking car, it shows that people still like the old design language. Yeah. People still want cars that look like that. They don't want cars that look like.
Maybe they don't even put two and two together. Maybe they just like the look of it.
I don't think people do, but it shows that as much as these manufacturers are trying to make the smoothest looking thing that is the most aerodynamic, at the end of the day, I think people will go for the thing that looks that is 10% worse on aerodynamics, whatever, but looks like that.
But it's boxy and it's cool.
Could you argue that's what Honda did with the Honda E? And it sold well and then they had to cut it because it stopped selling. So maybe with the Renault 5,
I think that was, the Honda E was ahead of its time. The range and everything like that in Honda E, it was.
What's the range on a Renault 5?
It is better
about
than
250 miles.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Something that small can't be.
Yeah, it's
can't
quite
be more
a lot.
Than 150,
it's a lot.
That'd be impressive. Really impressive.
The thing is, a lot of people don't care about cars. Like people just want something that's reliable and cheap and gets from A to B. But a lot of people do care about design. And do care about the way things look and feel. And a lot of modern cars now, I think, a lot of them look the same.
Yeah.
And they just blend in. And they're not funky. People like funky cars, but in a good way.
Like the funky Aura Cat.
No. Bloody awful. I saw one of those this morning. I was like, oh, God.
You saw this morning? Wow.
The Renault 5, normal, the cheapest version, has 190 mile range.
Well, sign me up. Why aren't I driving around in that? That's
and the long range version is 250 miles.
That's actually really good.
And do you know what? They do really good little financy deals on those. You can get one for like the price of a phone.
No, I promise this isn't an advertisement for them. I'm really impressed with Renault that they've actually done something that. And you know what? It wasn't one of those things where they designed a concept car and everyone was like, great. And then it came out and it was like, this is actually exactly what they said they would do.
Do you know what? I reckon if I was to go out and buy a new car to commute in on, just drive about in, I'd buy one of those.
I'd buy an Alpine.
See, the Alpine is cool.
So yeah, the Honda E, in terms of range, the best one you could get was 131 miles.
Yeah.
So that's
it's probably a bit depleted by now.
Even back when it came out, that's just not quite enough.
I managed 110. I did a whole lap of the M25.
Yeah, yeah.
Which in a Honda E?
Yeah. Yeah,
I think it was a great looking car. It was just, it wasn't quite there in the range at the time.
I've been thinking about this recently. I reckon, you know, the government are doing this whole thing where they're forcing, you know, they're banning the sale of petrol and diesel only vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
They're
slowly lifting that.
They are slowly.
They're extending it.
Yeah.
I've got a bit of a theory, right? And I get cars need to be fuel efficient and good for the environment, and we need to, you know, care for the environment. But also, people do get a bit unhappy when they don't have things that they enjoy in life, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people out there that enjoy cars and the feel and the sound and the smells and the emotions of cars, right? Yeah. I still think that manufacturers should be able to have a percentage of cars that come out as a petrol or diesel only.
Mm.
I think that the majority of their vehicles should be hybrids or electric, to look after your daily drivers and your electric stuff. And a percentage of them should be allowed to be petrol only. Like, for example, if you got, let's say, I don't know, Audi.
Yeah.
You know, the majority of them, you know, you got your little
plastic lecky boxes,
plastic cars, and then they come out with, you know, an R8 or a V8 RS6, and it's just petrol, and it makes loads of noise and lovely.
So long as their carbon footprint is under a certain amount, is that what you
mean? Yeah. You know, like they did that thing. That's why the Aston Martin Signet exists, because it brought the carbon footprint of the business down.
Yeah.
I still think that manufacturers should be allowed that percentage where they just do petrol or diesel only cars.
Well, let's lobby the government.
Because I think that it would keep people happy.
Yeah.
Because it's not, you know, the emissions will come right down and, you know, the carbon footprint and all that. But people, I think, will be quite miserable because you're forcing a lot of people out of something that they enjoy.
Well, we're being forced into a lot of things that we don't want at the moment by current government. So let's see how that goes.
Mm.
Anyway, should we move on?
We'll move on.
We've been talking for a long time, actually.
We've been waffling.
Yeah.
We haven't done one for a while.
No, we haven't, actually. And do you know how much, like, we don't like electric cars, but we do always talk a long time about electric cars.
I really like the Renault 5. I think that is a perfect electric car. Like,
how much are they paying you? Is it a lot?
That's the thing, you can get one at such a low price.
Oh, here we go.
I found this out the other day, I was looking online. Do you know you can get a Citroen Ami for £30 a month?
Really?
Yeah, £30 a month. My phone bill is more than that.
What websites are you going on?
The Citroen Ami website.
Oh, right. Okay. What, is it what, very
for
expensive?
The phone bill?
Yeah. Okay, let's move on. Car advice. This is from a man called Alan. And Alan says, hi, Alex, Taylor and Rory. I wasn't sure whether to write in or not, but here goes. Firstly, thank you for all of the great content this year. It's been brilliant. A credit to all of you. I have had a shit year. For the past 5 years, I was caring for my mum who had Alzheimer's, and it was as time consuming and as painful as you can ever imagine. Unfortunately, she passed away suddenly in May from a heart attack. I won't lie. I am devastated, and it has left me with a massive hole in my life. I have struggled with low mood and anxiety my whole life, but this has been my worst period. Having also lost my dad to cancer 8 years ago, I am now feeling pretty lonely. Your content has definitely helped cheer me up. The French Hot Hatch series was just epic and just the tonic I needed. Anyway, I will be getting some inheritance from my mum, and after doing sensible stuff, I will have a budget of around £10,000 to £12,000 to play with. My dream was always to race cars, but I have never done more than some karting. I was thinking about using this money to get my race license and maybe compete in Scottish C1 Cup for a few rounds, just so I can say that I've done it. However, I've also been thinking about getting a Porsche Boxster 987, I know a poor man's 911, as a weekend car for fun, or sometimes even thinking about something random to use as a track car. So my question is, with that budget, what would you choose? A short go at racing dream or something a bit more long term? Suggestions welcome, but no BMWs. Keep up the good work. You guys are the best.
First of all, genuinely sorry to hear about your loss, Alan. That is really, really sad. That must be genuinely really, really tough. It's not nice at all losing any family members. What I would do personally, I would buy yourself a Boxster. Treat yourself, enjoy it, drive it about, get a nice one. And I would buy on the side, leave yourself a little bit of budget, buy yourself a little Clio, like 197 or a 182 or whatever, and take yourself on a few track days.
How much? A Clio for like, what, grand?
Grand? Just a couple of grand, 3 grand, whatever.
Yep.
And just go on a few track days. It's really, really good fun. I like to do it throughout the summer.
Yeah.
I must admit, I haven't done it for the last year or so, but I love taking a little hot hatch.
Just great, isn't it?
On track. And just having great fun with it. And you know, you get other people on track days and you meet them and you socialise with them. Yeah, go out for a little drive with them and you keep up with it. It's just great.
Yeah.
I love going on track days.
Yeah, it's great fun. I would also agree. Now, Alan, I have done a series of enduro car.
Which you are practically a racing driver.
I used to be. I'm retired now.
Are you retired? Yeah. You're not practically a racing driver anymore.
No. Okay. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm an entrepreneur now.
Right.
Businessman.
You're not an entrepreneur.
Ask me an entrepreneurial question.
How do you spell entrepreneur?
O-N-T-R-O. So I've done an enduro car, which was great. But a whole season is knackering. Like, it literally takes up every single weekend. It's so tiring. So I would say, being a racing driver, former racing driver myself,
retired.
I would say, maybe don't do that. Spend your money on a really cool car. I would also say maybe don't get a Boxster. Go for something a bit more hardcore. Why not get yourself something like a Caterham 7? Something like that. If you want real thrills that you can take on a racetrack, you can get a Caterham 7 for about £12,000.
Or in the middle, you could get yourself a sort of bottom of the market Lotus Elise.
You can't get a Lotus Elise for 12.
Get a Lotus Elise for about 12, can't you? I think you can.
No. Can you? I don't even think you can get a Vauxhall VX220 for that.
I think you can.
I think a Lotus Elises are now like near 20, aren't they?
I think you can get a really cheap Elises.
I think you've got a bottom of the market Lotus
Elise. God, if you can get a lease for 12 grand, then do that.
Let me eBay it. Hang on, I've got Golf GTDs on my eBay.
Right, I'll jump on Facebook Market.
No, we're not doing a buying episode now, guys. Come on.
But we got to sort Alan out, don't we?
Here, look. Classified ad.
Yeah, go on.
Azure Blue. Lotus Elise S1, 83,000 miles.
Yeah.
Five owners, lovely condition. It's a little bit over, but 14,250.
Yeah, so there's some on Auto Trader, 14,5. There is a Cat S1. Looks absolutely lovely. 12,950 in green.
There's one here on Facebook for 12 grand.
I'm going to go slightly different to you two. Keep your budget to 6 grand and I'll buy something else. Car is less so important to me. Whatever floats your boat.
Is it a Spitfire?
No, just something that's nice that you could take on track days, whatever. Like even if it is just a, I don't know, a BMW 130i or something like
or
that.
Or a Megane RS. Or
what, yeah. But what I would do, I'd take that other 6 grand and then I would book in a load of adventures for you in that car. I would go to the Nürburgring. I would take it on all the... for me, it's more about, you know, use that money to create memories.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Like
yeah.
If you blow it all on the car, great, whatever, you've got this car. But I think as a parent, I'd be more proud of my child if they then use that to then create some amazing memories, did some amazing road trips, took it places that it should never have gone.
Rory, that's very deep for you.
But that is what I would do.
Because he's thinking about being a parent.
No, it's because we've sort of done it a lot, haven't we? And we always say you really bond with a car when you go on a road trip with it and you make great memories. And that's what we do, isn't it?
Ultimately,
we
always do. Ultimately, it doesn't matter what car it is. If it's super expensive, super fast, if you take it with you and it takes you, to 2,000-mile road trip, it becomes family member. Oh, and you become so attached and so proud that it's actually done.
And that's why, I think save half the money and just do some amazing trips in that car and just take it. You know, taking a car to a Nürburgring as well, you practically are a racing driver at that
exactly
point.
Exactly right, yeah.
You do a few laps in that. You don't need to do a racing series. You've had the best time.
Just don't do it in the wet.
No, yeah. He could get a Boxster still and then take it on a load of adventures.
Yeah. But if you can afford a lease and to go on adventures, I reckon that's the way forward. I really do.
And a lease or a Boxster, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, last section of podcast. Where's it gone? There it is. So do you remember a couple of weeks ago, we had an email from Charlie Hardy.
Yeah.
Okay, so for a reminder for everyone, Charlie Hardy wrote in, this was last episode. He said, "Hi, Alex, Rory and Taylor. I've just passed my test at 17 and been very excited to get on the road in my lovely 2004 Mini Cooper called Julie. Before I passed, my insurance quotes were blah, 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 very expensive, £4,000 a year. So should I keep my car and pay 6 or 7 times its value, blah, 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 or should I get something cheaper? We all said, get rid of the Mini, buy something cheaper. You said like a C1 or something, right?
Mm.
Do you want to know what Charlie did?
I don't know, but I also had a few messages about this. So,
oh, did you?
Did he buy a BMW?
No.
Okay. So I had a few messages from a few people saying, you know what? You're right.
Yeah.
I actually somehow managed to get a quote cheaper on an E61 BMW than it was on a, I think he said he had a Ford Fiesta.
Really?
And an E61 was cheaper to insure for him.
Wow. That's mad.
Do you want to know what Charlie did?
What?
He insured the car.
Yeah.
Took the car out. Shall I read the email?
No.
You'll like this.
Oh, no.
I kept the Mini, but ended up crashing it quite badly and broke my spine.
No.
Charlie, I'm sorry.
It
wasn't the best of first day driving experiences.
First day.
But I've learnt my lesson now and won't be crashing again. And he continues, watching you guys on YouTube has really helped me when I'm in hospital, not allowed to move or sit or anything. I'm really thankful for everything you guys do and my passion for cars hasn't died with the crash.
Oh,
thank you so much. P.S. Here's a photo of me, Julie, 5 hours after my insurance started. Would you like to Gather round.
Oh no, Charlie. It's upside down in a ditch.
It's upside down in a ditch. The front tire has completely departed the front wheel. So Charlie Hardy, good going. That is a bloody momentous crash. We really, really, really hope that you're on the mend very quickly. Please take it easy with the next car. All right? You're 17, man. Just chill out. You've got a whole life ahead of you.
Bless him.
Because that is a big off.
Yeah.
Very, very big
off. I know
they
always say if you're going to do it properly.
Yeah.
He's done it properly.
Yeah. Charlie, let us know how you get on. All right?
Yeah.
And for the next Food and Fuel event or Shed Fest, tickets are on us as well. So we'd like to see you in a C1 or something sensible. Right, anyway, we've been waffling on for well over 1 hour and 20 minutes. So, from us, we're going to call it now. We've got shit to do, don't we?
I do. We're going home after this.
We've got cars to buy and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, we do have some cars to buy.
My gold one.
Yeah. But from us, thank you very much for watching with your eye holes and listening with your ear holes. Whatever you do, do it to the best of your ability. Please write into us at
podcast@autoalexcars.com.
Just tell us you love us, if you love us, and keep or quit or dilemmas that you want us to discuss. That'd be great. And from us, we will see you next time. Goodbye.
Bye.